Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Joe Metz. Presented by the FTN Network, this two-man fast break runs you through the best cash and tournament options for every game on today's slate.
What's up, everybody? We are back. It is Thursday, February 25th, 2021, and we are back with the FTN Fantasy NBA Podcast, presented, of course, by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here, joined by the newly engaged Joe Metz. Joe's had a busy last couple months, but Joe, congrats again, my friend. Well done on the kid. Now you got a lovely new fiance. It's going well for Joe Metz right now.
Yeah, I'm running hot and everything except DFS right now. But I mean, big picture, I obviously prefer this. It's going well. You know, it was fun to see Serena get involved with the FTN community when everyone was giving me shit on Twitter. So
that was pretty funny.
It was really funny. It somehow turned into just an absolute roast session for like 6 hours. Yeah, exciting stuff. And now got everything out of the way and just settled down now. So NBA grind has not stopped, regardless of what's going on in my personal life.
Yeah. Very, very happy to see that. And you avoided every man's fear. Like, she didn't say no.
Hey, I had a hotel room on the 20th floor, and it would have been used either way. Just drastically different ways.
Use your imagination. But I'm happy for you, obviously. We have six games here on Thursday night, and for the most part, it's pretty cut and dry, I would say. There are a couple things we have to talk about, but really just kind of depends on Dallas again. A lot of the other pieces from these games we already have word on, or they're smaller pieces. So let's get right into it. We'll start with Dallas. They're at Philadelphia. Kristaps Porzingis has missed the last two games with the back injury. He's questionable. Maxi Kleber missed their last game after leaving the prior game with an ankle injury. He's also questionable. In their last game, Dallas, I believe, started Luka Richardson, Dorian Finney-Smith, Dwight Powell, and James Johnson. Dwight Powell started but played like 11 minutes. He's not somebody we're looking at. But James Johnson could be if these guys are out. He played 28 minutes. He's a guy that can rack up some peripherals very quietly. Has like a 17% rebounding rate with Porzingis off the floor. I mean, Luka, not the best matchup. But if these guys are out, I mean, you can play him regardless under 11K. But especially if Porzingis is out. Like, we know he's matchup proof. He's coming off a ridiculous game where he hit that buzzer beater. But talk about the secondary pieces, too, from Dallas, if Porzingis and or Kleber are out.
Yeah, a lot of them come down to just their price. Like, James Johnson is obviously not a high-ceiling play. You never play him to hopefully get, you know, 30 or 45 fantasy points. I guess 30 is in the range of outcomes. But minimum price last game against the Celtics, saw 28 minutes. His price only jumped $200. So you're getting him in virtually the same spot, and he's not a player. You know, especially given the role that we expect, where you really take the difficult matchup into account, just because you're not relying on him to go out and score 25 raw points. So I like James Johnson, especially if he starts again, assuming he does, because his minutes are secure. I mean, much more so than a Dwight Powell. You know, you mentioned Dwight Powell only saw it looks like a little under 11 minutes after getting the start at center. So then Willie Cauley-Stein saw about 24, and then Boban saw 13. So of the three centers on the team, Dwight Powell started but saw the least amount of playing time. That, especially in this matchup, makes him far too risky. Sure, maybe he'll play more, but knowing that it's well within the range of outcomes that he plays 10 minutes, which could very well be one rotation, and if he's starting, those 10 minutes could all come against Joel Embiid. I don't want any part of it. That's a player I will completely fade. And I would still have a little bit of interest in Josh Richardson and Tim Hardaway. You know, Josh Richardson, 12 shots from the field. Tim Hardaway, 17 in that last game. Tim Hardaway isn't always the most efficient shooter, but he's definitely better than his 0 for 8 performance from 3. Mm-hmm. So I definitely expect a bit of a bounce back there. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him see a couple more minutes. You know, he only saw 25. So I like Hardaway. I like Richardson. The only knock on Richardson right now is the fact that, like, we're used to him, you know, last year in Philly at points or in Miami as being this huge and high peripheral guy. It's much harder for him to do that playing next to Luka, just because Luka, like, you know, prime Russell Westbrook, soaks up so much peripheral production. where Richardson is going to be a bit more scoring reliant. With that said, like, both he and THJ are more than cheap enough to warrant their upside. They're both still under 5K, and I think they will be popular for good reason.
Yeah, I actually really like Hardaway Jr. in tournaments, more so obviously if Porzingis is out. He sees like a 1.5% bump in usage with Porzingis off the floor. But the Sixers, like, look at the makeup of their defense. Like, you can attack them against with shooting guards because that's where they have, you know, their worst defensive players, I would say, you know, other than when, you know, Matisse Thybulle or whoever comes in off the bench. But they struggle to defend shooters off screens. I mean, they give up the most points per game to shooters off screens this season, at just around 6.5 per game. And Hardaway Jr. leads the team in points per game off screens. He's top, 15 in points per game off screens this year. And we saw, I liked Buddy Hield in this spot for a similar reason. They kind of both have the same type of role in their offenses. So I could see Tim Hardaway Jr. having like a 20-point real game if he walks in a couple of peripherals at 4,800 or 4,700. I actually don't hate him at all. And then, yeah, Luka, I mean, I don't know if he's my favorite play on the slate. It will obviously depend on Porzingis' status, but you know what you're getting with Luka. Simmons, arguably the best on-ball defender in basketball right now. It's not a great matchup, but Luka's matchup-proof. Maybe he doesn't go for 70, but he could still easily go for 55 or 60. For Philadelphia, I mean, we know they're at full strength. Embiid coming off a weird game, right? It's a down game for Joel Embiid. He still has 18 and 12, but he shoots an uncharacteristic 3 of 13 from the field, which is just odd for him. But his price has come down below 10K because of it. And again, this team's at full strength, which means I prefer Embiid more than anybody else. Dallas, third worst field goal percentage allowed from within 4 feet of the basket. I will be sure to have some Joel Embiid exposure here. And if Porzingis is out, then it's, I mean, they're already not going to stop him. But if Porzingis is out, then he's getting Willie Cauley-Stein and Boban and Dwight Powell for 12 minutes. They just don't have a shot.
Yeah, I'm all over Embiid regardless of the status of Porzingis tomorrow. Under 10K, too cheap. Obviously, with Dallas's weakness around the rim, there is absolutely no way I see him shooting 3 of 13 again. I expect him to hammer the post. He'll obviously shoot his threes, but he should be camped down low most of the night, given how bad they are defensively. But, you know, like you said, because of the health of the team, it's harder to target Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris. I go back and forth with those two ancillary pieces quite a bit. In this matchup, I do prefer Simmons. I think the $8,700 price is nice. And we know Luka Doncic can't guard a broom, and not that we need a major matchup advantage for Ben Simmons to produce, but this is also a matchup that he should see as many minutes as possible to especially with Luka on the floor. And obviously, with the amount of touches Luka garners per game, only increases the chance for Ben Simmons' ceiling in terms of defensive peripherals. So he has a pretty nice ceiling this matchup, especially if you expect this game to stay close and you choose to fade Embiid. I think that would be a good way to kind of script your lineup and hedge that Embiid ownership with some Simmons love.
Yeah, and Simmons has been a little bit more aggressive offensively lately. Yeah. Double-digit shot attempts in three straight. If I were to choose between him and Tobias, I would pick Simmons. But true or false, the wrong 76er made the All-Star team as a reserve.
I think it's true. I talked about it.
But Tobias Harris. Here's the problem I have. And it's not a problem. It's just here's why I think it happened. All-Star game is about fun and excitement. And Ben Simmons is more exciting in an All-Star game than Tobias Harris. I think that's what it comes down to. Simmons has had a bad year. I think if the season ends today, he's the number two defensive player of the year. I just think Tobias has had a bit better of a year.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think my big argument for Tobias Harris, I just think he's outperformed expectations a bit. But then you go down the rabbit hole of like, okay, well, he underperformed expectations last season after they gave him the max contract. So realistically, he's doing what he was expected to do to earn his money. So it's just
come like a year late.
Exactly. But I think, you know, next year, like if this was Simmons' time, maybe next year will be Tobias Harris' time.
It's stupid that I do it, but I give into it. I'm usually all about recognizing the All-Star snubs. And I see everybody saying Sabonis should have made it and, you know, Bam Adebayo should have made it. I'm like, that's fine. Tell me who you're taking off, though. Because Trae Young didn't make it.
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown, I get. He and Tatum, they've missed a lot of games and whatever. Like, the Celtics are 15 and 17 this year. But, like, tell me. Like, don't just say it. Like, because
No, you're right.
There's players that are clear, like Julius Randle and Zach LaVine deserve it in every single aspect, like no doubt about it. And obviously, James Harden was going to get in, and obviously some of the other players were going to get in. But like, it's not like Vucevic making it is like this egregious crime, you know? So I don't know. It seemed like it was the most loaded we've had for All-Star reserves because there was a lot. Like Devin Booker, once again, didn't make it. I know he's going to take Anthony Davis' spot, but I don't know. I saw, by the way, the NBA TNT right before the day before they announced the reserves put out their predictions. I think Ernie Johnson picked Joe Harris out of the East. I'm like, all right, come on, now. We're getting a little too cute here. Like, let's relax. It was probably Steph hacking. Ernie's vote.
Yeah, really.
Speaking of Brooklyn, though, we'll move on. They're at home against Orlando. Still no Kevin Durant for Brooklyn. Jeff Green also on the injury report. He's questionable. Didn't play on Tuesday. We saw Bruce Brown and TLC get more run. Bruce Brown, huge game for Bruce Brown in their win against Sacramento. He goes for 29 points in 25 minutes. That's totally sustainable. Shot of 11 of 13 from the field. Let's get the obvious out of the way. James Harden. It should probably be over 11K right now until Durant's back. The way he's playing over his last six games, averaging 66 DK points per game, 29, 12 assists, 9.5 rebounds. Just with him playing on ball so much and Kyrie playing off ball, Harden's been pretty much like what he was last year.
Yeah, it's really hard to argue with him at this price. I still... You know, his ownership crept into, in the tournaments I was in, the 40%-ish range, and I would expect it to be the same. You know, this Magic defense is not what it was at the beginning of the year, now that they're down Markelle Fultz, Aaron Gordon, and I guess a little Cole Anthony, even though he's not obviously a great defender. So it's an exploitable matchup. He's going to have 100-plus touches in this game, and obviously the Nets have a thinner chance of blowing teams out, even the Orlando Magic, without Kevin Durant. Tuesday slate, a lot of it is going to come down to roster construction for me. Like with Joel Embiid, unless value really opens up, like screaming value, it's going to be hard to fit both him and Harden. So the easy and cop out way, you know, Kyrie Irving is really cheap. He's about two grand less. And, you know, he wasn't this spectacular, like result wise, didn't look like a spectacular play last game. Only shot 8 of 22 from the field. But if you look at his stat line, like the 8 of 22, 2 of 6 from three, 36 minutes, like that, it's hard to say that that's not a baseline, almost a floor. If you're getting a 43 DK point floor at 8,900, like I'm more than happy and comfortable with that.
Yeah, I think you can go right back to the well with both of them, obviously. Are you going back to Bruce Brown? I'm more inclined to play Joe Harris at 5,500. No, we didn't make fun of him. We just said he shouldn't be an all-star. Joe Harris is a great player. I love Joe Harris. But Orlando is another team. Struggled against shooters this year. They're 21st against shooters, according to our advanced DVP. They are allowing 5.5 points per game off screens, tied for the fifth most in basketball. It's a huge part of what Joe Harris does, obviously. I actually don't hate him at 5,500. He's still playing 32 to 35 minutes each game. If he's hitting, you know, his threes, he can exceed that price tag. Also, like, we'll have these random, like, 7 or 8 rebound games. So, thoughts on Harris and anybody else from this Brooklyn team?
I actually like these pieces a little more, given the matchup and the fact that, TLC is probable, still an outside shot that he, you know, if he plays, could potentially be limited, opens up more minutes on the wings for a Bruce Brown or a Joe Harris. Jeff Green, questionable as well. So he would obviously open up more minutes, especially in a matchup with a more traditional center for DeAndre Jordan. My issue with DeAndre Jordan, not only is that I'm prioritizing Joel Embiid, he's kind of getting to that price range on both sides.
You can't play him if Jeff Green's active.
Correct. If Jeff Green's out, there is more merit because he could see a repeat, you know, 34-minute game.
He also has 8 blocks over his last 2 games, which helps. I know he's got 19 but rebounds, like, and 23 points. But
I mean, even with Jeff Green out, like $5,600 is not like a gimme.
No.
So it's there. He's in consideration, but he's not like an elite value play anymore.
Orlando, do we need to say anything about Vooch?
No, we don't. Aside from the fact that he should absolutely smash. So I'm curious to see what the ownership between him and Embiid will be now that he's actually $100
Pretty,
more.
yeah, essentially the same price. Two players that, well, Embiid's always rostered. Vucevic never, I don't want to say never is. He's always overlooked on slates where the Magic aren't completely depleted, but obviously the last week or so things have changed where he's just been popular and smashing most games. But yeah, that'll be really interesting. I actually think Vucevic will be more popular.
I do too, especially given the matchup with Brooklyn. Everyone just knows to rush and target that now.
Yeah, I don't really care. I think you can play both. You know, that means you're probably not playing Harden, but these guys can both go for 60. We've seen Vucevic dominate usage rate, like 30% usage, nearly 40% rebounding rate over the last 2 weeks. Brooklyn, terrible against centers. You know, obviously a really good play. Then you have the other pieces from this team. Evan Fournier, 6,800. We've seen his peripherals a lot better with Aaron Gordon and these guards out of the lineup. Not my favorite play at this price tag, but I get it, especially if you think this game shoots out because Brooklyn's defense and their games tend to shoot out. They go over their totals a ton. And then Michael Carter-Williams is playing like 30 minutes a game, 5,600. Like, his ceiling's been very low. The floor's been okay. I just wish he was a little bit cheaper. Terrence Ross is at 6,700. Like, that, I know he had a nice game, but he also had four steals and eight like, I don't want to pay that for Terrence Ross. Like, I just don't know where else to go other than Vucevic that I feel great about.
Yeah, it's tough. I think if I had a gun to my head, I would probably pick Fournier strictly because of his ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't stomach Terrence Ross for 6'7". Michael Carter-Williams also seems more like a floor play than a ceiling game at his price.
All right, moving right along to Sacramento and New York. We have – so the last couple slates that I've been writing and New York's been on the slate, I've pretty much been like, all right, well, they're using 3-point guards in their rotation. R.J. Barrett's shown no ceiling. Nerlens Noel is too expensive for his role. Like, I only want to play Julius Randle. It's been like two or three slates in a row where I've written about that. Things might change here because Elfrid Payton is listed as doubtful with a hamstring injury. And Thibodeau just loves Derrick Rose, man. Rose played 27 minutes last game, went for 38 fantasy points. He's already leapfrogged Emmanuel Quickley, who has done nothing to warrant not getting minutes, but Thibodeau just got reunited with Rose, and the rest is history. Assuming Payton gets ruled out, Derrick Rose at 4,600. Always been a high-usage player. Since he's joined the team, he has a 27% usage rate over fantasy point per minute. At 4,600, Derrick Rose doesn't have to play 33 minutes. He can play 28 again and smash in what's probably the best matchup in fantasy.
Yeah, it's really hard to argue with Derrick Rose. I think there could also be some merit to Emmanuel Quickley in that situation for $500 less, especially, you know, you and I talked about it kind of shortly after the Rose trade. Him and Derrick Rose play alongside each other quite a bit. It's not necessarily the most conducive to either of them just because they're both very similar shot first, volume heavy players.
Yeah, so is Alec Burks too.
I know that's the problem, and you can argue Austin Rivers is too. Like,
yeah,
all of these guys are shoot first players. Obviously, Austin Rivers now being phased out with Quickley and Derrick Rose there, and Alec Burks healthy. But like, they don't really, aside from Elfrid Payton, who sure he's typically a pass first player, but he's not a pass first player like a Ricky Rubio. Like, he's still going to get his clips up. Like, these guys don't have a true point guard, and that's kind of a hindrance for this team. But back to the point, like, I think both of them are cheap enough, especially if Elfrid Payton's out, given the matchup. I would prefer whoever starts, and in that case, I assume it's going to be Derrick Rose because Thibodeau has not shown the willingness to kind of let the reins free on Emmanuel Quickley at all.
Yeah, and Quickley hadn't started prior to, other than, like, occasional spot starts for injuries. So with Rose there, it makes sense for him to start, but...
Yeah.
Matchup's great. I mean, Sacramento dead last against dimers, primary ball handlers, and scorers this year. They are also allowing the sixth highest field goal percentage from basically the free throw line distance, which is like the short mid-range. And since Rose has been traded to New York, he has a massive frequency rate off those shots. 34% of the field goal attempts from that part of the floor. It's one of the highest rates in basketball. So love Derrick Rose. Julius Randle, the all-star. Obviously, you can go back to him. The floor is great for him. The touches are there. He's 12th in the NBA in touches per game at 82.2. Only Jokic and Sabonis are averaging more touches per game than Randle among power forwards and centers. Just incredible matchup. The floor has always been there. There's definitely a ceiling here. What do you think of Randle? I mean, perfectly fine play. He is 9,100, I believe, on DraftKings. Yeah, 9,100.
Yep. Yeah, I'm totally – the matchup is really the reason why I'm totally okay with it. My issue, however, is, you know, then where do you prioritize him in terms of Joel Embiid and Nikola Vucevic, who we talked about recently, who obviously have that center eligibility.
New best player in basketball, Zion, is still on this slate too. So,
yeah, who's finally having ceiling games. I think I prefer Julius Randle on FanDuel, where you need two power forwards. He's $200 cheaper, and they reward steals and blocks more. So obviously he's few and far between, but obviously that incremental potential will make up some ground on the $200 price difference in his favor. So I do like Julius Randle if you're not paying up for Giannis on FanDuel. You can get there on DraftKings. It obviously will just have to come at the expense of one of the bigs we already talked about.
Anybody else from this team? Like I mentioned, like RJ Barrett's cheap enough at 5,500, and this is like, if there is a spot for RJ Barrett to have a ceiling game, it would be this one. Maybe he touches the ball more with Peyton out. The minutes are always going to be there. He fouled out last game, but you know he's going to play in a close game, 34 to 36 minutes. It's just not very exciting considering how middling he's been for fantasy. Maybe Alec Burks gets more run. He's a high-usage player at 4,200. If everybody flocks to Rosen quickly, I don't know. Anybody else from his team?
Not really, no. The Knicks are a team I don't really target much.
And then you have Sacramento. Obviously, massive pace down spot against the team that's dead last in pace. Also top five in defensive rating, so not a good matchup. Tyrese Halliburton's been great the last two games, 48 and 52 fantasy points. He continues to play huge minutes. He continues to close out games. And he's playing huge minutes, too, because Rashawn Holmes isn't playing huge minutes since he's come back. He's been under 26 minutes in like four straight games or five straight games. Hassan Whiteside's out, obviously. Like, I don't really love anybody from Sacramento here. Like, Fox is cheap enough at 7,800, but like, Halliburton's taking on a larger role as of late. Bagley's minutes have been better lately because Whiteside's been out and because Holmes' minutes are lowered right now. That would be the one tournament guy is Marvin Bagley. But again, it's just not a great matchup.
Yeah, it's just the pace of this game is like snail-like in terms of going from what Sacramento's used to playing down to what New York plays. I think I would have some interest in De'Aaron Fox if Elfrid Payton's ruled out. Like Elfrid Payton, obviously not like a world-renowned defensive player, but he is top 18 in the league in DRPM this season, which is defensive real plus-minus. So obviously a matchup with Derrick Rose, who is 38th among 84 point guards, and then Emmanuel Quickley, I believe, is much, much worse. Obviously he would get an incremental matchup boost, and you know the possessions are going to be there for De'Aaron Fox. So I think at his price, it's come down from what we've seen these past few weeks. There is a ceiling there. I just don't think he's a must given the snail-like pace of this game.
All right, three games left. The Clippers at the Memphis Grizzlies. Dylan Brooks, questionable to play here with the thigh injury that's cost him the last three games. Simply put, matchup aside, I just think Kawhi and Paul George are both a little bit too cheap here. Paul George, 8,800. It's pretty enticing.
Yeah, that's really cheap. And this is we talk about, you know, it's a middling matchup, but like Memphis can still, especially because their rotation is kind of coming back to full strength outside of, you know, obviously Jaren Jackson and if Dylan Brooks comes back, but they can keep it close enough where at 8,800, like you need 3.5 quarters. And the way Paul George has been playing this year, like I wouldn't have many doubts that he doesn't get there. But then Kawhi's 9,300. Like they're both.
I think they're both like. I think Kawhi's a little bit too cheap. I think George is definitely too cheap.
Yeah.
Like usually these guys are like. Usually Paul George is like 9,200, 9,100, and Kawhi's like 9,500, 9,600. They're both coming off fine games. Like Paul George didn't play 30 minutes, but still went for like 47 fantasy points. You know how I feel about them. Like they are so often like 10%, sub 10% rostered on slates. This one might be a little bit different, but
yeah,
they have massive floors. They both have usage rates right around 30%. My question again, do we go to anybody else on this team? Lou Williams sat Tuesday for rest purposes. I'm expecting him to be back here. 6,100 for ML Pass with the Clippers, two stars back in action. Serge Ibaka just hasn't been playing the minutes for me to consider him. Zubac has had some random impressive games like the last one, but he's still hard to trust. 4,500, maybe, but probably not. This team has been, other than that stint where they were like the value team of the week, which almost every team's been like that this season. Other than that stretch, though, like they have been honestly my least favorite team to talk about in fantasy because it's George and Kawhi. If everybody's healthy, you play them if you want, and then nobody else really stands out.
Yeah, it's the same thing we've talked about all season with them. Unless there's a significant injury, I'm not taking the blinders off aside from the top two stars.
Memphis, they're pretty healthy, like we said, other than Dylan Brooks, who's questionable. John Morant, 7,400 on DraftKings. He's just kind of in that like 38 to like 50 range. Like he could score anywhere between there. I don't see him doing better than that most nights, though, and especially in this matchup. So
I don't see him doing better than that tonight, but my issue is I see him potentially doing worse.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's not a great spot. Jovell, 7K. He's way more enticing here. We know the Clippers' rim protection better this year, but like still a weakness of that team. Then Brandon Clark's at 5,300. He's been starting with Dylan Brooks out. Just not really trustworthy. And then we talked about some of these guards with Dylan Brooks out, right? Grayson Allen, D'Anthony Melton, Desmond Bane. Just nobody really separating as the guy or a great play. Like Grayson Allen's playing consistent minutes, but I don't want to play him at 4,800. Kyle Anderson's kind of like the safe floor option. The peripherals have been there a lot, but is there a huge ceiling in this spot at 6,200? Like, this game's kind of gross.
It is. It's really gross. I'll be honest, like my only real interest on the Memphis side is Jovell. I should backtrack a second. If Serge Ibaka, if there is something that I can kind of latch on to get confidence that Serge Ibaka sees, 25 plus minutes, I would have more interest in Jovell because obviously Jovell is one of those few centers in the NBA who we target against more traditional centers who, while Serge Ibaka does stretch the floor and shoot threes, he's not going to come out to the perimeter and like cross up he's not necessarily a stretch center. So I think Jovell could be a target, especially if you think this game will stay close. But project like Pat Beverly to really rattle John Morant. I think there is room for upside, but outside of that, like Kyle Anderson at 6'2" is meh. Brandon Clark at 5'3" is fine, but there's a pretty low floor relative to how high his upside is.
Especially if Brooks plays.
Exactly. Because that's, Brooks plays, that's 20 plus vacated shots that are now gone. My gut will probably full fade the Grizzlies, but if I'm forced to play them, I think it would just be Jovell.
I tend to agree. Washington at Denver. The Nuggets still missing some players here. No JaMychal Green, no Paul Millsap, no Gary Harris, no PJ Dozier. We're going back to Jamal Murray, staying red hot right now. Just saw this team a couple games ago, went for 35, 9, and 6. Wizards playing a little bit better lately, but still giving up plenty of points. And they also give up the second most points per game off handoffs at 6.7 per game. Jamal Murray, third in the NBA in points per game off handoffs. He's shooting 50% off the play type, too. So we've seen him just dominate over the last week, and it's another spot for him to keep it going. Look at his shot attempts, by the way.
Shot attempts are through the roof. Like, he's had 20-plus in three or four games, 18 in his last game. Look at his three-point percentage, too, in the last five games. 37.5% in one of those games. Every other game, he's at least 50% from three. So he's dialed in. I mean, Adam, how many times have you talked about if there's a player that you want to get when they're hot, Jamal Murray is that guy.
It reminds me, I mention this all the time, it reminds me of Odell Beckham's rookie year in fantasy football. Everybody kept fading him, and he just kept going for 102 touchdowns.
Yep. So I will continue to take this. I will take this. To me, he's Damian Lillard light. So I will continue to ride him hot until he cools off. And I don't think this will be a matchup where he does. We literally just saw it, and this is a spot where you should not overthink. My issue now, this is also just an absolutely beautiful matchup for Nikola Jokic. Just had a shade under 60 fantasy points in the last meeting.
So good.
How, like, 10-4 is too cheap.
Yeah.
How the hell are we going to prioritize him, Vucevic, and Embiid?
I'll help distinguish it for you. You play the all-star. Oh, wait. They're all all-stars. Okay, you play the MVP candidate. All right, two of them are MVP candidates. I don't know.
Play them both. Like, at that point, like, your lineup would be extremely different if you played both, because obviously two center builds on DraftKings can tend to be popular, but
especially when you have,
how many times are people paying all the way up for two centers?
Right, especially when you have Harden on the slate. Well, I guess Giannis is center eligible on DraftKings too, but just in general, you have Giannis on the slate, Luka. It is interesting because all three of them are in absolute fantastic spots. I think I would honestly rank them, Jokic, I would rank Embiid last, which is crazy to say. But just given Vucevic's usage right now in the matchup, plus I think Jokic, like, I don't know. I just think Jokic, especially with Jermichael Green and Paul Millsap out, like, a little bit safer than Embiid. But if I was looking at the numbers at the end of the night and saw they all went for 65 fantasy points, I wouldn't even raise my eyebrow because they're all capable of it.
Yeah, that's, I completely agree. I think I do. I think my order goes Jokic, Embiid, Vucevic.
Okay, so the only difference is I have Vucevic higher than Embiid.
Yep, yep, exactly.
What do we think of this man Zeke? Spot started on Sunday, played 30 minutes. Monty Morris started on Tuesday, but he's played decent minutes, 30 and 24. He's not going to do much in terms of usage because they have Jokic and Jamal Murray running the team, but 3,200, he's power forward eligible, so you don't have to take up a center spot to play him.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could do worse, especially given the matchup, but I think him, especially if he draws a spot start, doesn't necessarily make me excited to play him. It just makes me incrementally more excited to play Jokic because you don't have a Paul Millsap, who obviously not a high usage player. Same with Jamichael Green.
I don't think he's going to start either, by the way. I think he started against Atlanta because it was Collins and Capella.
But regardless, like, even off the bench, both of those players are not high usage players by any means, but they take more shots than he will. So I think that just opens up a little more usage for Nikola Jokic in the front court. Outside of that value, I mean, I know he's going to be the, like, third at maybe at best third option in this offense, but Monty Morris for 4,800 in this matchup with 30 plus minutes, a very strong possibility, a very realistic one. I don't hate that play whatsoever.
No, I think he's really viable as, like, a lower range, or a higher range value play, I should say. Like a higher price value play, I should say, actually. If I put the over-under for minutes for Michael Porter Jr. at 28.5, would you take the over or the under?
That's so hard. That's so hard.
That's what I write, like, up about this team. Like, every single slate I write him up. I, like, if you think he's going to play minutes, he's got upside.
I think I would take the over.
I wouldn't be surprised if he played 26.
I know. Like, that's the problem with Michael Porter Jr. is the fact that, like, even with Jermichael Green and Paul Millsap out, those 26 minutes are, like, a very realistic outcome.
Mm-hmm. And that's, like, they can play Barton at the four at times if they want. Like, Will Barton's a very good rebounding wing.
Especially if Washington goes small, which we've seen them do, and put Rui at the five.
Yeah.
They phase out, obviously, Alex Len, their stupid
carousel. I mean, Will Barton at 5-1 isn't the worst option either.
No, it's not. I might prefer in this matchup Will Barton at 5-1 than to Michael Porter Jr. at 6K. Just because, like, I mean, you would have thought, like, if you would have told me in the bubble last year Michael Porter Jr. is getting 40 minutes, I would have blocked him in for 45, 50 fantasy points. He had 30.
Yeah.
Like, he's much like Kyle Kuzma this year. He just hasn't shown that ceiling.
For the Wizards, I don't get the price tags on Russell Westbrook or Bradley Beal here. 9.5 for Westbrook, 9.2 for Beal.
Yeah, I don't either. It's, unfortunately, which one of them do you go with? That's my concern. Like,
I prefer Westbrook just because Denver is allowing the highest field goal percentage in basketball at the rim. That bodes really well for Westbrook. But, like, Westbrook's probably going to give you, like, 18 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, and Beal's probably going to score 30 real points. It's pretty much what they've done the handful last 10 games. Beal is going to take 22 shots. Like, he's still pretty sure he leads the league in usage rate. They're both underpriced by a couple $100, though. I would prefer Westbrook, but it's not by a lot at all.
Yeah, I agree. It's incremental. My decision comes into, like, do I prefer Westbrook or Kyrie Irving if I don't play James Harden in the lineup?
I prefer Westbrook.
I do. I think I do, too. And I think he'll be the lower-owned of the two. You can't argue with Bradley Beal at 9-2 either. He's leading the NBA in scoring usage rate. Like, he's been playing out of his mind. And he, like, contrary to what a lot of people, like, casual fans think, like, he contributes a really good amount of peripherals. Like, 10 assists last game.
He's like DeMar DeRozan peripherals, but more scoring.
But exactly. That's exactly what he is. So I think he's a phenomenal play at 9-2. Both are way too cheap. This is a phenomenal game stack.
Anybody else on this team? Rui's playing massive minutes right now. He's 5,900, though. Like, he's not going to have a huge ceiling because he doesn't take a lot of shots. Westbrook takes a lot of rebounds. Like, I think he's, like, good bet to get, like, 30.
He's fine. I would.
But if you're going up in that range and you're playing tournaments, you probably take the ceiling opportunity of Michael Porter Jr. at 6K.
Yeah, and honestly, in, like, a cash game for him, I'd probably take Will Barton for a few $100 less.
Okay. All right, let's close it out. New Orleans at Milwaukee. I believe New Orleans played on Wednesday night. Yep. Drew Holiday is doubtful for Milwaukee. Zion had another huge game. He's just on another level right now. Absolute another level. Like, he has shot over 50% from the field in each of his last 10 games. He's a beast.
That's insane.
And his assists are up because I talked about how he's running the pick and roll more. It's awesome. If this team plays up on pace in the second half, he could average 30 a game. He's already at 25 and a half.
And you look at those 10 to 12 games between, you know, February 6th to now. Only two of those games has he shot below 60%.
Yeah. And he's not even consistently getting stocks yet.
I know. He's not at all. He's had, and then of those same games, 5 over 70%. Like, this, the efficiency is, like, mind blowing. He's too cheap. Like, this is going to be a phenomenal matchup. I'm actually going to this game tomorrow, so I'm very excited to see Zion and Giannis.
That sounds so weird.
I know, right?
Like, it sounds weird.
Like, I've also never been to a Bucks game in their new arena as a fan. I've worked at every single one. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be one of my first. I'm just going to avoid getting absolutely trashed and making a fool of myself in front of, I guess it'll be 1,000 people, not 15,000. But, yeah, looking forward to it. I don't think this is a spot I would fade Zion. Like, I know it's not an easy matchup, but, like,
Pace up.
Milwaukee's defense has been noticeably worse with Drew Holiday. Not that he would have guarded, you know, Zion, but the team as a whole changes quite a bit. I think at the rim, he's going to battle Giannis quite a bit, so obviously leads to more block potential for Giannis. But on the flip side, like, Giannis is also going to drive just as much as Zion does, so that same potential is on the other side of the ball. So I absolutely love Zion in this game. If I am scripting this game to stay close, I'd probably want to stack him and Giannis.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think there's a lot of potential with that. Brandon Ingram, he's only 7,900, and he went off tonight. Cheap. He had a back-to-back good game, so I think that's a really nice price tag for him. The rest of this team, though, I mean, Lonzo at 6'3", again, he's kind of in that – he's pretty safe for 30 to 35. If you're struggling to find players at that price range and you want security, sure. And then Steven Adams just – hasn't shown a consistent ceiling this year. Was good tonight. There was the one ceiling game over the last handful. 14 and 15 with 3 assists and 2 blocks. Just not somebody I've played really this year.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, if you want to get really cute, like Eric Bledsoe absolutely destroyed the Bucks in his first game against them earlier this season. But he also had, I think he shot like 7 of 13 from 3 or something like that. That's not obviously.
Yeah, he went 7 of 14 from 3.
Yeah, like that is, might have been one of the biggest outliers of his career. So
he went 7 of 14 from the from 3 and still went 9 of 21 from the field.
Yeah, that's not. I mean, that might have been more threes that he made in all 4 or 5 combined playoff series he had with the Bucks. It was so bad. So I'm even at 4,800. I think that's a little too cute. I don't. Again, like Lonzo Ball at $6,300 is a very solid cash game play to me. He's very safe. Has that 50-55 point upside, but I have a hard time seeing him drop below 30. So I think that's a fine play. I actually, you know, like he reminds me a lot of like a poor man's Ja Morant, strictly in terms of like range of outcomes relative to their price. On this slate, dollar for dollar, I actually prefer Lonzo Ball to Ja Morant. So I think he'll be a good low-owned play in this game. But those are really the only Pelicans I'm looking at. You can get away with some Josh Hart because he's cheap, but with Steven Adams in the picture, like he's harder to trust for a ceiling game.
For Milwaukee, is it just Giannis and Middleton? Middleton had the huge game against Sacramento, came back down to earth. He's been mostly underwhelming since Jrue Holiday's been out of the lineup, but 8,200 still feels right for him. Giannis against a team that quietly is, I think, second or third worst field goal percentage allowed at the rim, so that's great for Giannis. Bobby Portis on the injury report, he's probable, so they should have him. And then you have, you know, Bryn Forbes, who's going to play 25 to 27 minutes. If his shot's falling like it did the other night, he could be a value play at 3,700. Closing it out, what do we think of Milwaukee?
On this slate, it's Giannis or bust for me. It's not even Middleton, just because at that guard position, like especially shooting guard, I would probably just try and get up to Kyrie now that he has that eligibility. Middleton is also like he has a really nice ceiling, but he's also kind of showcased a pretty low floor relative to his price recently. So I just think there are some better options where if I'm looking at the Bucks, I would probably want to prioritize Giannis.
All right, that'll do it for the 6-game slate on Thursday. Anybody that's looking for some more pods, Debro and I have been crushing the rookie profile pods over at the Fade the Chalk pod. We'll be recording with Thor Nystrom on Thursday afternoon, breaking down Rashad Bateman and Devonta Smith, so check that out. Also giving away a signed Calvin Ridley jersey. All you got to do is rate and review the podcast on iTunes, screenshot it, send it to us on Twitter, and you'll be automatically entered. Also, vote for Cork Stats. We've been plugging that pod, and the screenshot of the tweet you sent earlier of the reactions, or like what other pod, like it was great.
Yeah, they had like a 4.5-hour stream, and his energy is unmatched in this industry. I will die on that hill.
Yeah, so give them your support, follow them, give them a vote, and obviously go check out the pod. Baseball season right around the corner. All of a sudden, just sneaks up on you like that. So we have a ton at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets. Of course, we'll have a ton of basketball content. And we haven't done a basketball pod since it happened, but shout out Javi. I mean...
Yeah, holy shit. God, 160K?
Listen, if there has been anybody on the fence about signing up for FTN Daily, there are plenty of pieces of evidence as to why you should. Whether it's David Jones, Javi, John Kelly said, screw it, I'm already the GOAT at MMA, but let me get into NBA and start just taking home all the money as well. Like,
yep.
Just ridiculous. So glad to be part of the team. Joe, you'll have the 5 stats article. I'll have the game by game article. Yep. And we'll continue to provide the content over at FTN Daily, FTN Fantasy, and FTNBets.com. Best of luck on Thursday. We'll see you guys on Friday. Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam and Joe. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.